بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, for quite some time we have been discussing with regard to jihad, the laws pertaining to jihad, the wisdoms of jihad, and particularly when it came to the Battle of Badr, which is the first major military campaign in Islam. In today's lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks about a very important decision that had taken place after the Battle of Badr. During the Battle of Badr, we find that Allah had assisted the Muslim army, and there were 70 of the prominent men of the Quraysh who were taken captive. They were now under the control of the Muslims. And as the battle came to an end, there was a decision to be made what should be done with these 70 people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum and explained to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَمْكَنَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ. Allah has now placed you in control of these people. So what should we now do? And basically there were two options. One was that we kill them, and in this way this would weaken the Quraysh. These were people who had persecuted the Muslims for many, many years, 13 years in Makkah Mukarrama, and now 2 years after Hijrah. So finally we have a chance to weaken the Quraysh and to take some type of revenge against them. And the second option was that we ask them to pay a ransom. In this way there will be some funds that come in, and we then release them and allow them to go back to Makkah Mukarramah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam consults Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu was of the opinion that they should be killed. We should put an end to them. And this will be a means of consolation, a means of solace for those who endured persecution at their hands, the earlier Muslims, those who accepted Islam in Makkah Mukarramah. Finally, they will now see the day where they are able to take revenge against these people. And it will also severely weaken the Quraysh. And it would send a strong message to the rest of the world that we as Muslims would put everything else after our deen. Even though these people may be our family members and they are from Makkah Mukarramah, they are our relatives, but because of them not accepting Islam or because of them opposing Islam, we put Islam and Iman first, and therefore even our ties or family ties come after obedience and loyalty to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was his opinion, and he felt this very strongly, and there were a number of Sahaba with him. However, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the majority of the Sahaba were of the opinion that we should accept a ransom. Ask them to pay a certain amount of money, and we will then release them one by one. And they felt that this would strengthen Islam and the Muslims financially. It was still very much the early days in Madinah Munawwara, so we would have this large amount of funds coming in. And also Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu motivated this by saying that if we release them, we ransom them and release them, then potentially in the future many of these people could accept Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to his soft-heartedness and his mercy, he also agreed with the opinion of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this decision was made. A ransom was taken, some had to pay a monetary amount, and some who knew how to read and write were then asked to teach the Sahaba radiallahu anhum how to read and write, and this would be the payment, and they were then released and sent back to Makkah Mukarramah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this occasion rebukes the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and says that the correct decision would have been in line with what Umar radiallahu anhu wanted. And the reason for this was that because this was the first military campaign, it was now necessary for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, for Islam to show its strength, to show that to an extent it would be ruthless, and it would not allow people to persecute and oppose the Muslims and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. It is not appropriate for any Nabi to take captives, to take prisoners of war, in other words, to spare their lives, until he dominates in the land. In other words, you should have first showed your ruthlessness, and you should have put an end to them, and then in future, when people take Islam seriously, and take the Muslim army seriously, and you are sufficiently in control and power, then in the future, there would have been ample opportunities to take captives. And then Allah addresses those Sahaba who had in mind the monetary aspect, تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا, that you desire the things of this world. وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ, But Allah desires the akhirah. In other words, Allah wants you to make decisions based on the akhirah alone, not based on any monetary amount or any financial amount that would come in. Wallahu azizun hakim. Allah is most mighty and most wise. So here Mufassirin have mentioned that this is a very stern rebuke against the sahaba, turiduna arad ad-dunya, that you want the things of dunya. Whereas we know sahaba radiallahu anhum were those who had the most amount of zuhad, of asceticism in their life. They had absolutely no link to dunya. But the principle is hasanatul abrar, sayyiatul muqarrabin. When a person is very, very close to Allah, then even a minor slip up is treated to be serious. A person is very close to the king and he makes a small error, then the king will rebuke him, will punish him, because this could be detrimental to the kingdom. Whereas an ordinary person, person who has no ties whatsoever, and he slips up, then perhaps his errors are overlooked. So this is why Allah comes down very severely upon them. Allah wanted them to have absolutely no consideration whatsoever when it came to things of dunya, and they should have chose purely on the basis of akhirah. And now Allah says that this was such a serious decision that لَوْلَا كِتَابٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ سَبَقَ. Had it not been for a decree that had already passed from Allah, لَمَسَّكُمْ فِيمَا أَخَذْتُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, then a severe punishment would have come to you because of what you have done and because of these funds that you have taken. In other words, had Allah already not already decreed that the sahaba of or the participants of Badr are forgiven, then if it was any other person who had made a decision like this, then you would have been punished by Allah. However, because the Badri sahaba are forgiven, now Allah says regarding whatever you have taken, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا غَنِمْتُمْ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا, eat from that which you have taken as spoils of war. This is halal, lawful for you, and it is tayyib also, it is wholesome for you. Sometimes a person may have reservations that we have taken this in war, in battle, it belonged to someone else. So perhaps it's halal, but is it wholesome? Is it something that we should be doing? So Allah says, yes, you are allowed to consume from this. Wattaqullah, but remain conscious of Allah. Inna Allah ghafoorun raheem. Verily Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that I was the only Nabi and my ummah was the first ummah to be permitted to take from the spoils of war. Nations of the past, this was not lawful, this was not halal for them. So this is unique and exclusive to the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that we are permitted to take spoils of war. And the final lesson that Mufassirin mentioned under this, it's a broad topic that is found in many of the kutub, speaking about muwafaqat Umar, the muwafaqat, or rather those occasions where Umar radiallahu anhu had made a certain decision or desired something, and wahi would then come down thereafter confirming and affirming what he had chosen to be correct. And there are many, many incidents like this where everybody was saying one thing and Umar radiallahu anhu felt something very strongly, and Allah then agreed, or Allah sends down wahi saying that what Umar radiallahu anhu wanted was actually correct. So this shows the great status of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. Of course, we should not harbor any doubts or reservations regarding any of the other sahaba radiallahu anhum. At the end of the day, they also wanted what was best for Islam, what was best for the Muslimin. They also had the consideration of these people perhaps accepting Islam in the future, and that Islam would be strengthened with these funds coming in. So it was not that they had any ulterior motives or evil agenda in place. However, the more correct decision was that of Umar radiallahu anhu. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.